Well, good morning. Great day. Do you remember when you were in school, there was someone, usually a girl, not always, but usually a girl, who knew all the answers. And the teacher would ask the question, and this person is waving their hand like a crazy, ooh, 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 I know, and she knows everything, very, very smart. And if you were jealous, you called them smarty pants or something like that. I remember one kid who did not have all the answers. His name was Harold Dobson, bottom of the class. But one day, I don't know if he's just lucky or what happened, but Harold got the highest grade on a test. And it was kind of shocking, but as a reward, he got to hand out the papers. He was so happy. It was the biggest smile I'd ever seen on his face. He was bouncing around, and the teacher was happy for him. It just feels good to get an A once in a while. And to get the right answer, and to be competent and intelligent. We like to know. We like to be in the know. We like to be the first to know. So today we're going to talk about God's omniscience. Omni meaning all, science, of course, reference to knowing. And the simplest definition of this is the state of knowing everything. God is limitless in his knowing. He has always known all things, past, present, and future, as well as all things existing even outside of time. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond tracing out. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. All creation. Everything. Now, I don't know a lot about astronomy, but as I understand, astronomers have come to believe that the galaxies have some sort of exotic material unknown to us, invisible to us, called dark matter. They haven't yet identified what it is exactly or even has established that it actually exists. And they also talk about another mystifying reality called dark energy. And all told, astronomers have concluded that dark energy comprises 68% of the total universe and dark matter about 27%. And none of that is knowable to us. Now, what's 68 plus 27? I think it's 95. And that means only 5% of the entire universe is knowable to us. In other words, everything we call scientific knowledge is based on but a pittance of what there is to know about our world. 95% of this billions and billions of light years galaxy is hidden. We cannot even comprehend what we do see, and that's just 5%. And God sees it all. He knows it all. It just blows my mind, this omniscient God we have. He says, I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? The answer is no one. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And on, scripture after scripture, past, present, future, he knows it all. He has full and perfect knowledge of everything and everyone. Before I say a word, he knows. So that means God is never surprised. He never discovers anything. He's never amazed. He doesn't ask questions, except maybe to teach us. He's never caught off guard. He knows. I got on this website called didyouknow.com. It just has all these trivial facts, like, did you know that August has the highest percentage of births? God knew that. That women blink twice as often as men. Did you know that 97% of the Earth's water is undrinkable? A bear has 42 teeth. And 8% of people have an extra rib. Did you know that? And rabbits like licorice. A flea can jump 130 times its height, which would be like a human jumping over the Gateway Arch. Did you know that? God did. How much tea is there in China? Some estimate about 370,000 tons. Well, God knows exactly to the last ounce how much tea there is in China. God knows the value of pi to the 10 billionth decimal and beyond. He knows every fiber in this carpet. God knows you better than you do, the number of hairs on your head, if you have any. He knows every subconscious memory, every subliminal desire. We cannot know ourselves fully. Only God does. Now, to some, that's scary. I mean, that God would know everything about me. How can he still love me? Because, you know, he sees all my dark secrets. He does, and he still loves you. I mean, that's the good news. And what that should do for you is that God's omniscience gives us security. We talked about his omnipotence last week, how children have a need to think that their parents are all-powerful. Children need to know that mom and dad are strong enough to meet any challenge or any threat to them that gives them security. Well, also, kids have a need for their parents to be omniscient. My mom knows everything. My dad is the smartest man alive. I still remember when I was a kid. I was amazed how much my parents knew. They could answer any question I had. So when your kids are small, on the smart scale, you are the smartest person on earth, and they need that. They need your omniscience. It gives them security. Now, when they're teenagers, where are you on the smart scale? Yeah, you're the dumbest person on earth. And you know what? They kind of need that too, because they need to learn that you are not omniscient. And for their faith in God to grow, their faith in you has to decline. It's part of maturity. And then when they're in their 20s and 30s, you're again, you're smarter anyway, somewhere between smart and dumb. So, this God who knows everything and is all-powerful and loving is a source of great security. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm going to do a little sidebar here. I just want to tell you what's happened to me in the last few months. I've been preparing for this series on God since last fall, reading and thinking and, you know, praying about it. And as most of you know, I confess from the pulpit here that I worry. And I'm not this great man of faith. And shame on me. You'd think I'd know better. But this God study has had an impact and has helped a lot. This God study has helped all these things that worry me to become a little smaller, a little more manageable. See, when you worry, what do you worry about? It's usually what's to come, the future. You know, what are the kids going to become? Will I get the job? You know, will I be able to retire? Worry tends to be future-oriented. And I'm going through this transition as I focus more on this God and his qualities, this amazing, unfathomable God. The word that is starting to describe my attitude toward the future is not so much worry, although I still have some of that, but now the word is more adventure. God is big enough, God is strong enough, he's smart enough, and he's loving enough. And he's so much beyond us, he can do, he will do whatever is needed. The future is in his hands. And it is an adventure to move into the future anticipating what God's going to do, just knowing that he's in control. It's the same with a four-year-old. A four-year-old who goes through life by himself is going to be scared. But if there's an omnipotent and omniscient mom and dad to go with him, it becomes an adventure. I'm that four-year-old. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And we can trust him. So my perspective is changing. I got a ways to go. I mean, this one series isn't going to change 60 years of bad thinking. But I really hope it has an impact on you. The more you grasp who this God is, the more it will change your perspective and your thinking and, yes, your life. Nothing surprises God. Nothing alarms him. And the God who knows everything is not worried. So why am I? Now, I want you to look at this next item up here, and tell me if you can read it. Let's just try that. The human mind is a wonderfully complex organ. It doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word appear. The only important thing is that the first and last letter are in the right place. Can you read that? It's pretty easy, isn't it? The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Now, that's amazing. Our brains can actually process that group of words, even if they're all spelled incorrectly, and the only requirement is that the first and last letter be correct. Now, sometimes in our lives, things get messed up, and they don't make sense. But when we take a step back and remember that God is the first and last letter, what's it say? He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And as long as we know the first and last, which is God, we can rest assured, one day everything will be made perfectly clear. God knows. God makes sense of the mess. All you have to know is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. And I hope this study on God will encourage you and embolden you and humble you too. Now, one area where we're different from God, we are always learning. The saying, you're never too old to learn, is true. And God does not learn. God doesn't need to learn. I mean, if you already know everything, what do you have to learn? Plus, learning implies change, and another facet about God is he's unchanging. And God, in his grace, allows us to learn. He's given us this universe to explore, to discover. But at the same time, God has limited our ability to learn and know. There's only so much knowledge any one human can take in. None of us are omniscient. Now, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were not to eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree. What was the name of that tree? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent said, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You can be like God, Eve and Adam, knowing things that God knows. And that's the temptation. You can be omniscient. But there were some things Adam and Eve were not to know. Now, let me ask you, do you want your children to know everything you know? No. You protect them from some knowledge. And God is protecting Adam and Eve, but they wanted to be like God. Augustine once said, I had to think about this, our lust for knowledge is more dangerous than lusting after the opposite sex. Here's what God said to Adam. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall die. There's some things God does not want us to know for our own good. What are those things? I don't know. If I did, I'd be God, right? So today, we have this information explosion in our culture, this avalanche of knowledge, and it's only one click away. Omniscience seems more possible now. And it's like this big buffet. There's all kinds of knowledge and information, but also like a big buffet, you can't eat it all. And like a buffet, you usually eat too much. So is there such a thing as information gluttony? Let me ask you, the more information or knowledge we get, does it produce more peace and contentment? Does it make better people? The more you watch the news, does it make your life better? We hear this phrase, information overload. The buffet overwhelms us. Studies show it causes irritability, anger, lethargy, listlessness, sleeplessness, headaches, digestive disorders, cardiovascular stress, stomach pain, muscle pain, and vision problems. I think if we turned off media for a month, we'd probably all be healthier. Amen. See, if you eat of the tree of knowledge, God said it'll kill you. Now, this is not anti-education. It's not anti-learning. It's about a gluttony. When Ellen and I get ready to purchase a vehicle, I love doing the research on it, and I will study and study for about a year or two in advance. And all this information is out there on the internet. I love it. And what I'm finding is all that information, all that research actually makes it harder to decide. You get bogged down in the paralysis of analysis. That's one negative there. But here's the worst part of information overload. Besides anger, irritability, you know, paralysis of analysis, research shows information overload kills empathy. That's the real death. The rapid exposure to headlines or stories of disasters, human tragedies can numb our sense of morality and breed indifference. So information overload leads to empathy underload. I don't care. Let me give you three ways we are tempted to be omniscient and to be like God in knowledge. One is the internet. This has been called the new addiction. A few years ago, Motorola's Droid announced its phone as all-knowing and all-seeing. Well, that sounds a lot like God. Now, God wants us to learn. Education is good, and the internet has been a blessing. I love it. I love social media. But humans have always thought that more knowledge is going to solve our problems. Education is the answer. Education is good, but it's not God, and it's not the answer. The most dangerous people in the world are knowledgeable and smart and educated. And I'm amazed. I'm going to start meddling here a little bit. Sunday morning, 8-year-olds cannot get their nose out of their phone. You'd think that was their God. I see teenagers playing Nine Square. Playing Nine Square with their nose in the phone. It may be an addiction. I might be a little facetious here, but not a lot. But what's worse is I see 38-year-olds can't put it away. But the topper, I worry about me. Ellen says I love my phone more than I love her. It's just not true. But we have iPod, iTunes, iMac, iPhone. What's the I stand for? Information. But it also is about I. I am God's not I am. I am I am. And I know I can know it all. I have it all on my computer and my phone, just one click away. Here's another area, the future. We want to know what's next. It's just human nature to know the future. And we tell ourselves if we knew the future, we would put that knowledge to good use. If only I could know where the stock market will be in 10 months or 10 years. Would you use that knowledge for good or for selfishness? See, only God can handle omniscience. Divination is the old term for this, and it's as old as human history. Horoscopes, palm readings, tarot cards, psychic hotlines. For Christians, it's all the maps and charts you'll see about the end times, when and how the end is going to happen. Isn't that really a desire to have a knowledge that only God has? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. We know that. But my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. So I read that text, and then I ask myself, now why in the world do we have preachers and teachers with their charts and timelines showing us how it's all going to happen, when it's going to happen? It's knowledge only God has. When I was a kid, I believed the world would not make it past 1988. Several of you here today should not be born, okay? It was almost guaranteed by prominent teachers and preachers that Jesus would return by 1988 and that'd be the end. Why 1988? Because that was 40 years after the Jews reclaimed the promised land, and within one generation of Israel going back to their land, Jesus would return, and one generation in the Old Testament was 40 years. So you take 40 plus 1948 and give 1988, and I was impressionable, and these people apparently knew the Bible, people I trusted, and they thought they had knowledge that only God has. Because the future is uncertain, we tend to worry, me included. We think if we knew the future, we could adjust and make things better. And our anxieties would subside if we knew the future, right? If you knew what was going to happen the rest of your life, would it give you more peace or less? We'd go crazy. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows it's better we not know certain things, especially the future. It's just better that way. So divination in the Bible is condemned because it's trying to get knowledge that only God has. Horoscopes, psychic hotlines are trending on God's forbidden ground, so stop it. That's his territory. Third area, we want to be in the know. I'm going to call it meddling. Unhealthy interest in others, sticking our noses where it should not be. Meddling can be tricky because it often masquerades as loving concern. You know the old prayer request, be praying for Sister Susan, her marriage is on the rocks. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. Well, I know that. See, if I know something you don't know, that puts me a little above you. As parents, we have a temptation to meddle in our children's lives as they get older. I have found that the older my kids get, the less I can or should be involved in their affairs. And there are times I really want to say something. I want to be God to them. But it's not my business. After all, they're 36 and 38 years old now. Now, one time when they were small, we knew pretty much our kids' every move and their every word. We were omniscient at that time, and that's good. Now they're older, we don't know. Now, if you have teenagers or young adults, yes, you could read their every text and their every email or their Twitter, and you could monitor all their movements by GPS, and you may have to because they haven't been trustworthy. I get that. But it may also be that you are trying to be God to them and can't let go of your omniscience. Just got to let go sooner or later. At one age, knowing everything about them was a means of protection, but as they mature, we have to increasingly release them to the all-knowing God. He knows better than you or I. I have to tell myself, Mark, God will be a better God to your kids than you will be. So stop trying. And the young people said, amen. You know, we all have relationships we feel compelled to over-monitor, even in the church. Well, what's going on with them? And when we meddle, we become smaller. It kills our soul. I had one lady tell me, I think she's going to, for Lent, give up gossip. And I said, well, good luck in Mount Pulaski on that one. Anyway, it's just knowledge we should not have and stay away from. Quit trying to be like God. Those are three areas to be tempted. Let me end very quickly here. Four truths. Number one, we cannot outsmart God. Sometimes we think we can. We think we can manipulate him to do our will. You cannot teach him a lesson of any kind. He holds all the facts. And I look back on my life, and many of you can too, some of the worst times in my life, the worst things that happened, the time when I was mad at God and I asked, God, why in the world are you letting this happen? Why did you do that? But now in hindsight, I say, oop, that was the right thing. He's just smarter than I am. He knows stuff I don't know. 9 years ago, God fired me. And I thank him every day for it. Thank you, God. He's smarter than I didn't thank him then, but he knew I needed to get out. And so you trust his knowledge, you trust his word, you trust his ways, you do what he says. Now, there's times it looks like your way is the best way and you think you're smarter than he is. No, follow his word, do it his way. He's omniscient. We cannot bargain with God. We cannot convince him to act a certain way by making a deal. Now, God, if you do that, I'll do this. Don't even try. He doesn't need anything from you. He already owns all your stuff. But here's the good news from Romans 8. Here's what God's omniscient does, what Paul says. For I am convinced, now I want you to ask yourself, am I convinced of this? I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, that's pretty serious stuff. Demons, death, life. Neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else, nor all creation. Now think of all the positives or all the negatives that can happen to you. I am convinced none of those will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Are you convinced of that? No matter what good or bad happens, no matter how bleak it may look, nothing will separate you from his love. Why would you try to bargain or manipulate a God who knows you in every way and loves you in every way? We cannot fool God. Now, you can fool people, but not him. He sees through every pretense. To God, we're all bad actors, and you don't need to fool him. Why do we put up pretenses? It's usually to be accepted by someone, to put up a good front. Well, God already knows you and accepts you as you are. Keep it down there, please. Okay. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And God, I can't fool you. You know everything about me." And God does not forget. He'll never forget his promises, and he'll never forget you. Isaiah 49 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." In other words, your God loves you more than your own mother. Because God holds all knowledge and he's trustworthy and good, we don't have to know everything. We don't have to know the future. We don't have to try to bargain or manipulate. You just trust his ways and do it his way. And the more we learn about this God and his world and his ways, we're transformed, not into smarty pants, but into servants who live with confidence and peace and a sense of adventure rather than a sense of worry. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?